Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true? They don't think Christianity's true. They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
Those of you that follow apologetics will know the name Walter Martin. Walter Martin headed up the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast many moons ago. And he was the author of Kingdom of the Cults. You may have heard of that book. It's been revised a number of times. Hank Hanegraaff is now the Bible Answer Man. Walter Martin passed away a number of years ago. It was one of the first really apologetic radio programs that I've ever heard about. And my guest today was actually on that program as a co-host, I guess, and is now doing some other things that are very important to getting the word out about the truth of Christianity, particularly on college campuses. Those of you who have been listening to this program for quite a while know that we have a problem on our college campuses. But there now actually is an organization that is directly addressing the problem. And the problem, of course, is that atheism, agnosticism, and liberalism is being preached all over college campuses without much Christian pushback. But now there's an organization doing that. And my guest today is actually one of the leaders of this new organization that we've talked about on this program before. But before we get into that, let me introduce him. His name is John Stewart. No, not that John Stewart. The John Stewart is actually doing some good out there. And John is now a leader in the movement or the organization called Ratio Christi, which means Reason for Christ. And what these Ratio... Well, I'll let John explain to me what they're doing. I've known about them, been involved with Ratio Christi for a while. But John, welcome to the program. What is Ratio Christi doing on college campuses right now?
Well, thank you, Frank. Yeah, Ratio Christi, as you indicated, which means in Latin the reason of Christ, is actually a campus apologetic alliance. And the vision was to actually put trained apologists on every university campus in America so that when Christians are being challenged with their faith or non-Christians have questions, they can actually go to someone who can tell them the truth as opposed to some of these professors who have quite the liberal bent, the anti-Christian skeptical bent. So starting humbly with just a few chapters on a few universities, in the last 3 years, Ratio Christi has grown to over 100 chapters across America, many of them having full-time missionary apologists at that particular campus, conducting weekly meetings, putting on events, having debates, people like you to come and speak. And just this year, now we're branching out internationally, and so I have been given the blessing and the responsibility of going to the rest of the world and looking at university campuses throughout the world to establish apologetic clubs on these university campuses.
John, that's quite a territory you have here. The whole world. If you were a sales guy, man, you'd have quite a quota.
Yeah, it reminds me, this is a James Bond movie, The World is Not Enough. Well, in my case, thankfully, the Western secularism that came from Europe that's infected mm-hmm. so much of America, it has not spread to every continent, but yet it's there in some places. And our task is to not let it take root like it has in America, where we're trying to regain lost ground.
Well, I can't tell you how important this organization is. I've worked with them for a number of years. In fact, the first event they ever held, they invited me to at Appalachian State back at the end of 2007. Randy Hardman, as you know, helped found it. And it was, for a while, as you know, affiliated with Southern Evangelical Seminary. Now it's its own organization. And you guys are just doing such great work out there. But let me go back to your background. Because when I read your bio and saw that you were involved with the Bible Answer Man, and well, Dr. Walter Martin, tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved in that.
Sure. Dr. Martin, I actually taught the same seminary in Anaheim, California for a couple of years, which was eventually named Anaheim or American Christian Theological Seminary. And around the year 1980, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery founded Simon Greenleaf School of mm-hmm. Law. And Simon Greenleaf had both a law program, the JD program, and also an MA in apologetics, which I think was probably the first. and has since been assumed by Biola. And so Biola's current MA in apologetics actually came out of Simon Greenleaf. And I was a charter faculty member with Dr. Martin back in 1980. And then by about 1986, I guess it was, I was on the radio in Southern California doing a program that Dr. Martin used to do when he jumped to a nationally syndicated program on Salem Broadcasting and other networks. And for some reason, they heard about me. They liked what they heard. And Walter called me up one day and said, I need a co-host. I need to make the show live. I've been doing too many tape shows. Would you be willing to come in and co-host the Bible Answer Man? That was a no-brainer, Frank. Here's someone I looked up to. I had read his King of the Cults books. I'd seen him speak. And he was just a fiery orator with a mind like a steel trap. And so to share the mic or actually do a lot of the programs while I was with the Christian Research Institute was truly just a great experience. And right about the time that I jumped from that to KKLA in Los Angeles, which actually we built up to be the largest Christian talk station in America, there was a fellow on our board by the name of Hank Hanegraaff. And when Walter Martin passed away, then Hank jumped in to assume the reins, and he's been there about 20-some years now.
Right, yeah, he lives right next to me here. We're pretty social on occasion, so I've been on his program a number of times. Yeah, Hank's great. And I know you probably had something to do with our mutual friend Frank Pastore. I think you knew Frank, if I'm not mistaken.
Because I spoke to Frank about a year ago, and he reminded me that I was kind of the pioneer in Southern California for Christian talk radio, at least the way we did it, where it was essentially promoting a Christian worldview to, in some cases, a secular audience. In fact, I used to have people who would, advertisers on my program in Los Angeles, who would go out and call on people who had called in to take to use their services, assuming people who listened to my program were Christians. Found out the 25% or so were not, but they really liked hearing an intelligently presented argument about Christianity. They were thinking about it. And I thought that's the highest compliment to have non-Christians realize the truth of Scripture is there, and it's for everybody, not just for those who were steeped in the church.
Absolutely, and I miss Frank. Frank, as you know, was killed in a motorcycle accident. He prophetically almost predicted the day he died. He used to travel back and forth between Glendale and I think Midland, California on highway, I think it's 210 or something out there. And he got clipped by a car and was in a coma for many months or a couple months anyway. And I remember Greg Laurie kept going to see him, and he's missed, a great guy. And I had him on the program. I've been on his show several times. I had him on the program to talk about his book Shattered, which was a great kind of biography of his life in the major leagues.
Yep.
And his wife and all that. Just one of the good guys. I miss Frank. Go ahead, John.
That was the show I used to do, was the afternoon drive for KKLA in Los Angeles. So Frank was in that same slot that I used to be in. So he was near and dear to me as somebody who was truly holding that mantle and did a great job.
And then you became an attorney, and now you are actually one of the attorneys with the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is one of my favorite organizations. If it weren't for the Alliance Defending Freedom, we'd probably all be in jail right now. These are the people that are defending religious freedom all over the country, and now indeed all over the world. And I just had the privilege of being at their meeting last month out there in California. And those guys are fabulous. And you're one of those guys. You're one of the attorneys that actually helped argue the Prop 8 case. Just got a minute before the break. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll get back to Ratio Christi after the break.
Sure. Well, actually, there's about 2,000 now allied attorneys with the Alliance Defending Freedom. And Alan Sears has done a great job, people like Joe and Franco. And so from time to time, they'll call on me to see if I want to be local counsel in a case. And the ADF, for those who don't know, primarily protect religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and traditional values. And we tithe our time to try to make sure there's level playing field so Christianity is not hindered. And the marriage case in California was huge. And unfortunately, it's still in a state of flux, because the Supreme Court just a month or so ago punted on whether or not there is some federal right to same-sex marriage.
Well, we're going to talk more with John Stewart, one of the leaders, now the international director of Ratio Christi. You need to know about Ratio Christi. In fact, you can even maybe get involved in Ratio Christi and help bring apologetics to a college campus near you. More on that after the break. I'm Frank Turek. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Don't go away. Back in just 2 minutes. did our world, particularly our world here in the United States, get dark so quickly, and what can you do about it? That's what we're going to talk about for the remainder of the program. My guest is John Stewart, International Director of Ratio Christi, Reason of Christ in Latin. And these are clubs that are, where Ratio Christi establishes these clubs on college campuses, kind of like a campus crusade group, but they're devoted completely to apologetics. I've had the pleasure of speaking at many of these. I've got several scheduled this coming academic year. And this is an organization that you can actually not only get behind financially, but you can also get behind in a way of actually participating. If there's a college near you and you're interested and you have some training in apologetics, you're interested in maybe being a leader there, we'll tell you a little bit later in the program on how you can get in contact with the folks at Ratio Christi and maybe start another chapter. There are over 100 chapters now in a very short period of time. Ratio Christi has only been around about 5 or so years, and they're growing quite quickly, and they need to grow because the college campus is one of the darkest places in America. Dark because they're so far left theologically and politically that Christianity quite frequently is just mocked. So Ratio Christi is actually doing something about it. Now, John, tell us from your perspective, how did things get dark so quickly in this nation? Because every time I look at the Drudge Report, every time I look at the news, I just get depressed. It seems to get worse and worse. How did this happen?
Well, first, I probably have to give a little history lesson. And I do have an article about this on the Ratio Christi website, by the way. But we need to go back to, for example, the 17th century. And Thomas Hobbes writes Leviathan. It's a political treatise. If you read it, King James terminology, biblical allusions, you would think, hey, Hobbes is a Christian, right? Look at the way he's writing. No, in fact, Hobbes identified as an atheist. Well, how in the world could he write such a way that he sounds like a Christian? Because Christianity was then the dominant worldview. Everything was coming up Christian. You had two types of people. Christians were living consistently with the Bible, and Christians who weren't living consistently. So all a preacher had to do, preach consistency. So Hobbes wants to communicate his ideas. He has to use the dominant value system of the day, which was Christianity. Well, today, the tables have turned. Now, secularism has become the dominant value system of society and the media. And so now, if we try to use 19th or 20th century techniques to reach 21st century skeptics, they're going to scratch their heads and say, what are you talking about? So we need to first realize it started in the 18th century with the attack on the Bible. You had people like the critical school in Germany with Ferdinand Bauer saying, well, John didn't write the gospel. John, whoever wrote it, was some unknown Jew in Palestine about the year AD 180 or something similar. No evidence for that, by the way, merely subjectivity saying that no one who was walking with Jesus could have called Jesus Christ God. The Gospel of John obviously does. Therefore, it couldn't have been written by an eyewitness. Well, the attack on the Bible led to the 19th century attack on God. Along comes Nietzsche, the German philosopher. He coined the expression, God is dead. At the same time, Charles Darwin comes along, and he says, well, there's a mechanistic explanation for life. We don't need God. Let's shake hands, thank him for past services rendered, but we can go forward like Nietzsche's Übermensch. We don't need God. So 18th century, the Bible's attacked. 19th century, God is attacked. The 20th century, humanity's attacked. The war to end all wars didn't do it. The Humanist Manifesto in 1933, right before Hitler came on the scene, said, we finally reached the age that Nietzsche envisioned, and then World War II comes along and Nazism, and then in this country since 1973, 50, 60 million abortions since Roe versus Wade in 1973. So here we are now in the 21st century, post-Christian, where Christianity is no longer the dominant value system of media, of law, and of so much out there. Christianity, Christians are trying now to regain lost ground because traditionally, Frank, we thought ministry was either being a full-time pastor or being a missionary to someplace like Africa. Well, ministry is wherever God has us. And people have forgotten that a species of evangelism, which Jesus said to make disciples of all nations, a species of evangelism is apologetics. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give answers to anybody who asks us. So we've been asleep at the switch. And so to summarize, why in the world are our college students being bombarded? Because their parents don't know how to teach them about the evidence for the Christian faith. Why aren't the parents equipped? Because the churches aren't teaching the parents. Why aren't the churches doing it? because the pastors have not historically been trained in apologetics, at least not for the last 100 years. Why not? Because the seminaries aren't teaching the evidence for the Christian faith. Now, the good news is, since 1980 with Simon Greenleaf and Biola and, like, Southern Evangelical Center, we have 6 or 7 fine Christian institutions having graduate programs in apologetics. That is helping to turn the tide, and now Rash University is helping to place those apologists in the university campus where the problems are worse, but the light shines.
John, I want to marinate on something you just said because I think it's the key to our problem. You said something about the fact that we used to think that ministry was simply done if you went to Africa or you were a pastor or something. And in reality, of course, ministry is done wherever we are in any walk of life. In other words, it seems to me there was a bifurcation of the secular and the sacred back about 100 years ago when it came to fundamentalism. And I'm using fundamentalism in a negative way now, where people decided that we can't answer Darwin and we can't answer all these atheistic philosophies. So what we're just going to do, instead of engaging these philosophies and pointing out their errors, we are going to circle the wagons and we're going to separate from society. And we're going to talk about the only real Christian professions are missionary or pastor or that kind of thing. And everything else is secular. Comment on that a little bit.
Well, Frank, you're stealing my thunder, but what you said is absolutely true. In fact, that's in the article that I wrote that's on the Rash of Christie website. So what has the church done in response to the creeping secularism as a result of Bauer and then Nietzsche and Darwin and in the 20th century skepticism? Well, there's either the liberals who said, if you can't beat them, join them. And the liberal has become so adept at identifying with the secularist that, like the chameleon, you can't tell them apart. And that's why a liberal gospel does not have the power to change and transform lives. The truth is not there. But what have the conservatives or, quote, fundamentalists, close quote, done? You're right. Circle the wagons. If you can't beat them, separate from them. So we create our own little societies of the saved, and the secularists have taken over law, media, education, you name it. And now all of a sudden we say, wow, I don't like those programs on television. Well, good heavens, did anybody think that in the arts Christians could flourish and let their light shine? And somehow we've just been thinking about it now the last 10 or 15 years after the barn doors almost closed. So we need to occupy and to get into those positions every place in society and let the light shine and stop abdicating all these other areas to the secularists, then curse the darkness.
See, I want our listeners to really think about this for a minute. That means, listener, that if you're in a profession that you like and it has what you think has nothing to do with preaching the gospel or Christianity or, you know, what traditionally is viewed as a ministry profession, you might be right where God needs you to be. Because if we took everybody out of the world in the sense that if we took them out of business or other professions that we don't necessarily associate with preaching the gospel, if we took all those people out of those professions and we put them somehow in paid ministry, it would be an absolute disaster. There's no way to reach those people. You are where you might need to be in order to reach people by the way you live. So I think this is an absolutely critical point. There is no bifurcation between the secular and the sacred in the Christian life. No matter what you do, as Paul says, do it all to the glory of God. Let your light shine around the people that you are around. I think God is more interested in who you are where you are than where you are. A lot of people think, oh, I got to get into ministry. No, you are in ministry wherever you are. And that's why I think what you're saying here is so critical that people understand this. Now, if people really feel a calling that they want to get into ministry professionally, in other words, have it be a vocation and you know, they get paid for it, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that either. But the point here is that we've got to get rid of this mentality that only the people who are involved in paid ministry are actually doing ministry. You're doing ministry wherever you are, wherever you are. And if, I mean, John, as you know, you're more of an historian than I am. I mean, weren't Christians the ones that did all the great art in society years ago?
Amen. Yes. And if you listen to someone like John, I can't think of his name, the fellow from England.
John Lennox.
Lennox, thank you.
John Lennox. Yeah.
Put them in South Africa a couple of months ago. John Lennox, and basically saying that Christians, not only the arts, but science and the modern scientific revolution was founded by people who believed in God and looked for order in the universe because they believed there was an orderly God. And so we lose track of that if we essentially write off all those other disciplines and think that only by doing some sort of full-time ministry in a church or on the mission field that somehow that's how we're serving. And I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says the pastors are not there to be the ministers. The ministers are the saints who are equipped to do the work of the ministry. So in essence, who does the work of the ministry? Not the pastor teacher. He is or she is the equipper of the saints. We, the ones who are being fed the word of God, are to go out and do the work of the ministry, whether it's in Africa, whether it's at your job as a truck driver, an accountant, a doctor, a homemaker, whatever it is, that's your calling.
Yes, and if Christians had been doing that for the past 150 years, our society would be in much better shape, and our universities would be in much better shape as well. In fact, as you know, universities are kind of the incubator. They're incubators for future ideas that make it into the culture. And the ideas that are currently on our university campuses are so anti-Christian. They're not post-Christian. They're anti-Christian. I mean, they are so far on the other side that I shudder to think what our society will be 100 years from now, if it even does exist. You know, what it's going to be like for our kids and grandkids, John. I shudder to think that, or I shouldn't even consider that. And that's why what you're doing, particularly through Ratio Christi, is so important, because it's a way of pushing back at the point of incubation. It's the way of pushing back right at the place where these ideas are being put forth. And so that's why I enjoy going to Ratio Christi events on college campuses. And as you know, John, if a Christian walks into a college campus and puts two interesting declarative sentences together, the bar is set so low that a lot of people go, wow, this guy's brilliant.
Well, you know, the university campus is supposed to be the marketplace of ideas. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when someone wants to stand up and say something that reflects Christianity, all of a sudden people want to invoke speech code saying, well, this is hate speech, because you're actually calling some things wrong. And, you know, that's hurtful, that's harmful, but about self-esteem.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. Gee, it would be wrong to call somebody wrong. All these wrong people out there, I'm going to call them wrong. You can't do that. Well, we'll get into it more with John Stewart, the International Director of Ratio Christi. More on that and more on how you can actually get involved, because that's important. You can get involved and actually help show people why Christianity is true right on your local college campus. I'm Frank Turek, back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away. What are you doing to advance the Great Commission? No matter where you are, no matter what you do, you can advance the Great Commission right where you are, regardless of your profession, right in your profession. You don't have to be a missionary or a church pastor or a deacon. Or a parachurch ministry. You can spread the gospel wherever you are, and sometimes it's just befriending people and getting to the point where you can talk about the gospel. But our guest today, John Stewart, actually has a way of doing this on the college campuses, Ratio Christi, and we're going to talk more about this a little bit later in the program. But John, before we get into that, I want to ask you about something that happened about 25 years ago. In fact, it's about 25 years ago next week that you led a kind of a protest out in Hollywood against the movie The Last Temptation of Christ. You had 25,000 people show up. Tell us a little bit about that and what you accomplished by doing that.
Frank, that was quite a day. It was August 11th, 1988. I was doing my radio broadcast out of KKLA in North Hollywood, which is just up Lancashire Boulevard from the headquarters of Universal Studios. And a few months before, we caught wind of the fact that MCA Universal, which is one of the largest motion picture companies in the world, was actually going to put out a film, The Last Temptation of Christ, directed by the famous director Martin Scorsese, that's based on a novel by Nico Kazantzakis, a pagan who essentially defames Jesus in this book, has him as confused and stumbling and lusting. And so there were people who worked at MCA Universal who were sending copies of the script to me surreptitiously to let me know what was going on. And so we decided, look, this film's about to come out. Let's take to the streets and say that, look, Jesus of Nazareth is the Jesus of history that's recorded in the scripture, not the one that's going to be in this movie. So don't defame, don't blaspheme, and don't misrepresent our Savior. So I put the call out, and I invited other people who were concerned about this issue, such as Don Wildman, who came out, Bill Bright from Campus Crusade, the football player Rosie Greer came and marched with us. We had quite a few others. And we did a news conference, then we marched. And here were family people, ladies pushing strollers, carrying signs, don't distort his story or history. And it was just a wonderful day. But the whole point of that was to let people know that there is a Jesus of history who saves, so don't listen to the one that Hollywood misrepresents. And I have people say, hey, John, didn't you give a lot of publicity to what you consider to be a bad or false movie? And the answer is, well, it gave us an opportunity to tell people why it was important for us to take to the streets and speak up. And it's not every day I would have People magazine or other magazines call me up and say, Mr. Stewart, why is this a big issue? Who is Jesus and why is it so important? And we got to, in essence, tell people why it was a big deal. Well, that was 25 years ago. Now the question is, is Christianity still the doormat where Hollywood or others can defame us with impunity? And I would submit, Frank, that it not only has continued, but perhaps it's gotten worse today, where the Christian values that existed a century or two ago, and we've seen wane in our own lifetimes, are all but disappearing in dominant media. So I think the battle continues and rages on.
Yeah, it does. And what people always forget is, yeah, you do bring publicity to a negative movie, but on the other hand, when you do that, you also open up the question to people who might not otherwise think about, like with the Da Vinci Code, and with The Passion of the Christ. I thought The Passion of the Christ was a great movie, I thought. But that whole conversation, particularly around the Da Vinci Code, actually helped bring apologetics into the mainstream because people were going out and saying, well, what Dan Brown is talking about in the Da Vinci Code actually isn't true. Here's the evidence, when people wouldn't have had that conversation otherwise. So actually doing what you did probably brought more people into the light than just publicizing a bad movie. I mean, I thought probably the positives outweighed the negatives. I don't know what would happen today if we tried to do something like that, what kind of response we'd get. That was 25 years ago. Christians now seem to be quiet and scared and can't defend themselves in the public square. And that's one of the reasons why the secularists are overrunning us in virtually every area, because we're not standing up when we have the truth. And I'm so glad to see that Don Wildman was there. Don Wildman, as you know, started this radio network that we're on right now. He's one of my heroes. And Bill Bright, and you said you had several others out there. That's just fabulous to see that so many people did show up. And, you know, we're getting to the point in our culture today, John, and you know this more than anybody working for the Alliance Defending Freedom, that if Christians don't start standing up, we're going to lose the very religious freedom that we have to preach the gospel. I always hear Christians saying, well, let's just go preach the gospel. We don't have to worry about political or moral issues. Or we just have to preach the gospel. Well, you can't preach the gospel if the government tells you you can't, not legally anyway, and that's what's going on, or that's where we're going in this country right now. They're telling us we can't preach the gospel in certain areas. That is a problem.
It's shaping up to be an Acts 5 situation where the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, told the apostles, look, stop this. You're bringing a lot of uproar and a lot of chaos to our community here in Jerusalem, so stop. And so what do? They find the apostles out preaching. So they bring them back in front of them after they beat them a little bit and say, didn't we command you to stop teaching this man's name? And Peter stands up as a spokesman and says, sorry, but we must obey God rather than men. And the way I read the Bible, we are to disciple all nations. We are to speak truth and love. And therefore, if the government outlaws me preaching, then I'll go to jail because the price is worth paying, and it's a command from Scripture. By the way, Frank, you also mentioned the Da Vinci Code. That's another example from The Last Temptation of Christ in 1988 to the Da Vinci Code a few years back. I had the opportunity to speak at two or three university campuses in Southern California on the Da Vinci Code, giving the truth, the other side, and speaking in a lot of churches. I think we should look at these types of situations as opportunities to get the truth out there rather than to shirk back, curse the darkness, circle the wagons, and say, wow, what a bummer that it's turned out this way. Hey, let's go occupy and let's regain the ground we lost because we were so timid that we were standing on the sidelines while the secularists were happy just to take over.
Let's go back to where we were now. We were talking in the last segment about how people just are not equipped to defend the Christian worldview. What are some of the ways, in your view, that people can get equipped, even just particularly on the internet? Where can they go? You know, obviously our ministry's out there, crossexamine.org and Ratio Christi, but where else would you recommend they go to get equipped so they can make a difference for Christ intellectually?
There are so many resources. You could walk in almost any Christian bookstore. Unfortunately, there's still often a larger section of some of the ephemeral stuff, but the good, solid teachings on apologetics. I mean, one of the seminal books was Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's still out there. It's just an anthology that gives a lot of facts. I mentioned to you in an email that the book you co-wrote with Norm Geisler, one of my favorite books of the last 10 years, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. It gives people insight into how to defend the existence of God, the truth of the gospel. So there's lots of books. Someone like a John Lennox, William Lane Craig, listen to programs like this one or the Bible Answer Man to be ready to give answers. And I think every church ought to implore that the pastors and the leaders do offer courses on defending the faith. It is a species of evangelism. Or to reach the world, especially the thinking person, we need to have the facts and the evidence. And the model is the model of Scripture. If you go to Acts 17 or Acts 18, the Apostle Paul reasoned with them from the Scriptures. He used logic. He used argumentation to bring the facts to them so that the Holy Spirit could change their hearts. So it's both reaching them with the facts to touch their heads and then the Holy Spirit convicting their hearts. Anybody can start out and become a defender of the faith by studying the Scripture and going online and just looking up apologetics and Apologetics 315, other blog sites like that. Just so much material, Frank, I wouldn't even know where to begin other than to mention the few books that I did as a starting point.
Yeah, by the way, people out there now have no excuse. You can get educated in apologetics for free. And what you do is you just take your iPhone, your Droid, whatever you have, or you're just your computer, and you can find this podcast for free on the internet, crossexamine.org. Go to iTunes, type in crossexamine.org. You can get Greg Kokel's podcast, Stand to Reason. You can get Robbie Zacharias's podcast for free through his app. In fact, we have an app coming out in about a month, the Cross-Examined app, where you're just going to be able to hit a button on your iPhone or your iPad or your Droid or whatever and just listen to the podcast whenever you want. William Lane Craig's, I was listening to one of Craig's podcasts today. I listened to all his podcasts. These are for free. John Lennox.
You can go online and you can watch debates between William Lane Craig and atheists, or John Lennox and Richard Dawkins, or you and who is the fellow who died recently? One of the
Christopher Hitchens. Yeah,
Christopher Hitchens. And these are online on the internet. Just Google Frank Turek, and you can find things like that. And you can study those debates and listen to what the apologists say and how questions are answered by people who have taken the time to study not only the evidence of Scripture, but how to present it intelligently. It's all there, and there's just some really good stuff. I was listening to one the other day. One of my former classmates when I went to Biola years ago, Dan Wallace. Now he's one of the best textual experts in the world, debating Bart Ehrman, the former believer, now a skeptic. A great debate. You can tune that in from just going on to the internet and watch this hour and a half debate. You can learn a lot of stuff and be equipped just by going online and looking into it.
In fact, you can find most of what we've been talking about here, and I'm talking to John Stewart, the International Director of Ratio Christi, ratiochristi.org. You can find most of what we're talking about here, friends. If you go to our website, crossexamine.org, click on resources and look at links. Just about everything that John and I have just mentioned, you can find via those links. You can, and one of the best the Grand Central Station of apologetics right now is Apologetics 315. That's a website, and it's linked on crossexamine.org. There are more audio, more debates, more YouTubes, more interviews on that site than anywhere else. You can get a seminary-level education practically by just listening to that stuff. So there's no excuse anymore, friends. All this stuff is free. And as I said, apps are out there. Our app is coming out. You can get William Lane Craig's app, Reasonable Faith. You can get Stand to Reason app. You can get Robbie Zacharias's app. You can get the Reasons to Believe app from Hugh Ross and Company. So all this is out there, And there's no excuse anymore. This country is slipping away and the world is slipping away predominantly because we have not been engaged intellectually, and we need to get more engaged intellectually and bring this stuff to the streets. Now, Ratio Christie is specifically bringing it to the college campuses. And when we come back from the break here in just a minute, we're going to actually talk about what you can do if you want to get involved at that level, at the university level. You can actually get involved in a volunteer way or maybe even a vocational way to be a representative for young people who are going to college campuses. You can be a representative for them in apologetics. So this is something that you really want to consider. And right after the break in our last segment, we'll give you all the details with our guest today, John Stewart, the international director of Ratio Christie. Let me mention one other thing, friends. Don't forget about our TV program on every Wednesday night and now on every Saturday night as well on DirecTV Channel 378. It's also on Sky Angel. I think it's Sky Angel 114, if I'm not mistaken. Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern and 1 a.m. Eastern, and Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. That's I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist TV. Go to our website for more, crossexamine.org. Back in 2 minutes. Are you tired of sitting on the sideline just complaining? Well, it's time to actually get in the game, because in life, actually, there are no spectators. You might not know it or not, but you're actually in the game. Well, you must get in the game and play well, right? And play well by knowing why Christianity is true and how to articulate it to your friends, your relatives, and anybody else that you have some sort of influence over, some sort of contact with. Now, one of the ways you can do this, in addition to getting educated, which is what we've been talking about here, is you can actually take a hands-on approach, particularly with a college in your area. Now, John Stewart is our guest today. He is the executive director of Ratio Christie, an organization, if you're just tuning in, that was created 5 or 6 years ago to put apologetic clubs on college campuses. I've spoke to many of these clubs over the years, and we'll be speaking this academic year as well, Lord willing. And these are clubs that are actually training people on college campuses, a very dark area in our culture today, on why Christianity is true and how to engage arguments that are put forth against the Christian worldview. Now, John, tell us how people, well, first of all, tell us what kind of requirements or what kind of training somebody needs to have to get involved with Ratio Christie at the college level?
Well, if people actually want to become a campus leader in apologetics at a university campus, what we want are people who are trained formally and have a Master of Arts in apologetics or the equivalent. So in essence, we are hiring trained apologists. Now, back in the old days when we started at Simon Greenleaf in 1980 and brought out the MA in Apologetics program, which is now in 6 or 7 universities and seminaries, there was no place to go with your master's degree. You have to go on for a graduate, for a doctorate. But now people with master's degrees, we are actually bringing them into the fold, and we have at least 20 or so full-time missionary apologists. They raise their support. Their full-time ministry is on a particular campus to have these weekly meetings, answering questions, giving teachings, bringing in speakers for debates, and being there to minister to the Christians. And, of course, you've probably heard some of the statistics, Frank, that for those Christians who leave high school and are professing as they enter into the university, what, 60% perhaps will walk away from their faith during their college years. Why? Because there's no presence on campus for an intellectual defense of Christianity. Well, Ratio Christie is there to meet that need. So just starting a few years ago at Appalachia State, now we're on over 100 campuses, as I say, many of them with full-time apologists. And we are hiring apologists. We're helping people who are trained apologetically to raise funds to become a full-time supported missionary at a local college campus somewhere in the U.S., and now I've jumped in to become the international director to allow people to find places all over the world, university campuses, where they can do the very same thing, do teachings, have these weekly meetings, and be able to bring in speakers to put on events. We were back at, down in South Africa just a few months ago with Ravi Zacharias' team with John Lennox, and we were on about 6 or 7 university campuses. We have a couple of chapters we've set up there. I was in Nigeria back in November teaching apologetics there. They're hungry for chapters. Canada is ready to explode. There are many countries all over the world that right now are knocking on our door saying, send us apologists. We need people trained because the gospel needs to be presented
intelligently on our university campus. That's why we're there, Frank.
Well, that's an amazing ministry. And I want to ask you, though, you're mentioning all these people are doing it full time, but you don't have to do it full time either. I know there are probably many of these college Ratio Christi representatives. What do you call them, by the way? Do you call them representatives? What do you call them?
Well, they're the apologists, or they're the leaders, or the directors.
Directors,
either
okay.
Of those things for the person who's responsible for the chapter, right?
All right, so you have many directors who are not full-time. It's a part-time thing, correct?
Correct. Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Okay,
yes, should make that clear. So people can certainly volunteer, and we're looking for also people who they may not have that level of training in apologetics, but perhaps they can help coordinate and help publicize the event so we get more people to come to the weekly meetings. So those are available as well, and if people go to the Ratio Christi website, which is www.ratiochristi.org, ratiochristi.org, they can find out more about how they can find a campus. And if we don't have apologists already with a Ratio Christi chapter at their local campus, university, community college, whatever it might be, let us know, because we need to know those campuses that we can target and bring people in and put the word out. We're looking for apologists. We're looking for people to help coordinate to bring these meetings so that Christians can be enriched, can be taught how to defend the faith, and the non-Christians can have a place to come and ask their questions.
There's nothing more rewarding than doing one of these events and having somebody come up to me and say, I was about to leave the faith, and now you've really encouraged me, and now I'm back, and I'll never doubt again. You know, they say all that stuff because so many people have never even heard of apologetics. Yet when they get a dose of it, they go, wow, I never knew this existed. I never knew there were good reasons to believe that Christianity is true. And when they get it, they're transformed. And so this
Frank,
is a
very... maybe one good purpose for the secularism that has overtaken our country, and that is now the contrast between light and darkness is so great that when people do hear the truth, they're responding. And I'm seeing this apologetic movement as a species of evangelism sweeping the country, not just Ratio Christi, but we're there on the university campuses, ministries like yours or Ravi Zacharias or some of these others you've mentioned. And this is a movement that Ratio Christi didn't start it. It's a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit. And it is a response to the darkness that has crept in, and people are hungry. And when they see the contrast between the light of the gospel and the darkness that's in our societies and the university, their eyes are becoming opened, and we're excited to see that. One benefit that we offer, for example, I know you go to a lot of campuses, as does Ravi Zacharias and some of his people. Well, they may do an event, and the university may have one or two events a year, but what do you do in the interim? And so what Ratio Christi is doing is to have a place for weekly meetings to bring in people like you and Ravi Zacharias to do these big events as a way to bring people to these chapters where we have meetings regularly to answer questions for the Christians and the non-Christian. So we are there to supplement this evangelistic and apologetic movement that truly is growing by leaps and bounds across the country.
Yeah, that's important that you have an on-campus presence, because yes, we can come in and do an event, we can make an impact, but the follow-up is just so critical. The fellowship that people have afterwards is so critical. In fact, there's a testimony on our website from a guy down at UT Dallas. I've been down there a couple of times in the past year or two, and he, when he came to the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist event at UT Dallas back in, I think it was September of... maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I can't remember when, but he saw how close-minded his atheistic colleagues were. I mean, this kid was an atheist on the college campus. And then when he sees how close-minded they were to the arguments that I was presenting, he actually was somewhat then attracted to the Christian viewpoint. And over a period of about 6 months, working with people on campus, I think it was part of William Lane Craig's Reasonable Faith group down there, that he's actually now a Christian, and his testimony is videoed on our website. So these things do occur. It's not just equipping Christians, which is very important, but it's also reaching out to skeptics for them to come to faith. Go ahead, John.
I mean, that's the point of apologetics anyways, not merely to make us sound bright, but it's to, number one, confirm that what we believe as Christians is true, but secondly, to tell the non-Christians, look, here's the evidence. Jesus is the Lord. He rose from the dead, and the scriptures are a reliable record of that. Frank, let me also mention that the university is an important place, but Ratio Christi has also started a college prep division, and we have a fellow, Mike Sherrard, who was actually the new director of that. So now we're even going into the high schools to train kids before they even get to the university, and that's just begun recently as well. And he's an author of an apologetic book, and I think there's exciting things there as well. Go to the website, ratiochristi.org, and find out about Ratio Christi College Prep. So we're going to reach the high school students to get them ready, and we're going to be there at the universities to teach the believers how to more properly and intelligently defend their faith. And we're going to tell the non-Christian why they should come to the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the inoculation prior to going to college is important, very important. And then equipping people on campus is great. The search and rescue stuff we're also doing when we go on campus, because there's so many are considering walking away or have walked away, and so we try and reel them back in. We throw them a life preserver out there, and then going after the skeptics. So Ratio Christi is doing all of that, and we team up with them at crossexamine.org to do that as well. You know, John, at the end of the day, people only have one of two outlooks. They either have hope or they have despair. Now, I was listening recently to a William Lane Craig podcast on this, and he was saying that actually there are some prominent atheists that do not want to publicize the implications of strict atheistic materialism because it's just too bleak, that people can't deal with the fact that there's no purpose in life,
right,
that there's no meaning, that ultimately when they die, that's just it. And they don't even want to publicize that because they know that people won't be attracted to that, at least in most cases. The advantage, of course, of the Christian worldview is not only is it bright, but it's true. There's evidence for it.
We have to keep hammering that home, that the facts, the evidence is on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that got me to Ratio Christi, I'm on the board, I'm actually the chairman of the board of a Christian conference center up in Seattle, Washington, and Camp Baraka. And we've been talking for years about doing something like Summit Ministries that trains high school students. And the
right.
director up there told me, hey, a good friend of mine just became the director of something called Ratio Christi at the University of Washington. I said, what? This is exactly what we wanted to do. And within just a short period of time, I contacted Ratio Christi, and given my background, they said, hey, look, you're the guy that should do this internationally. That's how I got hooked. But it's doing exactly what you just said, bringing the truth and letting people know the facts are on our side. Let's let the truth get out there.
Yeah, bring the truth and the hope, because there's only, again, there's only two possible outlooks you can have, and that's hope or despair.
Yep.
And the atheists have all the despair. We have all the hope, but we also have the truth as well, which is it's critical. We need to keep pounding that home. This isn't just an academic exercise. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about the purpose of life here and in eternity. There is a true purpose, and we can know that purpose. John, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks for what you're doing with Ratio Christi.
Enjoyed it, Frank.
That's John Stewart, the International Director of Ratio Christi. RatioChristi.org. Check it out and consider donating. They can use your help, and they could use your help on campus. So go to that website and learn more. If you can't remember it, crossexamined.org. Click on resources and links, and we're linked there. I'm Frank Turek. Great being with you. See you next week. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of American Family Association or American Family Radio.